School districts across Massachusetts have a few more days to put the finishing touches on reopening plans before the deadline of submitting them to the state on Friday. Schools must explain how they could open for in-person instruction, remote-only instruction, and also a hybrid of the two. Barnstable School Committee approved a school calendar and a plan at their meeting last week. And joining us now live to talk about the process of developing the plan is Superintendent Meg Mayo Brown. Good morning, Dr. Mayo Brown. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So the Barnstable School Plan, like, you know, I'm sure most district plans around the state, is complicated. And you said last week to school committee members that you stressed that it was a flexible plan. Can you talk about how you build in flexibility to a reopening plan that serves children, you know, of all ages, from preschool all the way up to seniors in high school?
Sure. We wanted to be able to build a plan that allowed us to pivot between in-person and remote as necessary. So before we could really develop our plan, since the state was prioritizing in-person learning for all students preschool through grade 12, the Commissioner of Education asked every district in the Commonwealth to do a feasibility study to see, with the physical distancing requirements, how many students could participate in in-person learning. The state released guidance that said a minimum distance of 3 feet for physical distancing. CDC is recommending 6 feet. We went with the parameter of 6 feet and then just measured all of our spaces, classrooms at every grade level, and that really drove what we were able to do in terms of prioritizing in-person learning. So we know, based on our feasibility study, that for grades kindergarten through third grade, we can accommodate in-person learning. That gets more difficult as in our larger buildings with larger enrollments, we're just not able to have all of our students for in-person learning. So when you hear districts talk about in-person versus hybrid, often cases that's really dictated by the physical distancing. So we were able to do in-person, as I said, kindergarten through third grade, and then fourth through 12th grade is a hybrid model for us. Now we know in each of those scenarios, we may find ourselves, depending on what happens with the virus, a need to pivot to remote learning, either for a short amount of time if we have a classroom or a part of a school that needs to go into isolation for 14 days and our students need to be able to learn remotely, or we just also provided an option for some parents are saying, you know what, I don't want anything to do with in person right now. I'm able to facilitate learning at home. I would like my child to participate in 100% remote learning. So again, our plan needed to be flexible to provide in person, hybrid, and then this sort of standalone model for parents who just want 100% remote learning.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned parents, and you sent out surveys to try to gauge how they're feeling about all of this as you developed the plan. Did you see any common themes from the parents that returned these surveys as to concerns or wishes that they have for this upcoming school year for their children?
Yes, we've done a couple of surveys with our families, and as well, we've done separate surveys with our educators and staff. And what we see from our families, our most recent survey, which we did a couple weeks ago, was 80% of our families would like in-person learning, and 20% would like this remote-only option. Now, we have 5,000 students in Barnstable. We had about 2,300 survey responses, so a little bit less than a 50% response rate. But I think that statistic of 80% want in-person and 20% remote would, you know, that's how we really started to develop our, finalize our plan that I presented to the school committee, again, feeling a little more confident about the, matching the expectations of our parents through an in-person or hybrid learning model.
Mm-hmm. And teachers, of course, have had something to say about this as they are the ones doing the instruction. And we heard from some last week at the school committee meeting who are pretty nervous about going back into the classroom. Can you talk about how you've been working with teachers and the kinds of protections that you're putting in place for those who do go back to the classroom in September?
Sure. We started our planning process for fall reopening back in May. We knew that the state was going to be releasing guidance, you know, at some point in the summer, but we wanted to do some scenario planning beginning in May to say, okay, if it looks like this, we'll do this. Our educators, our teachers and staff have been part of the planning process with us since May. So I've been able to really hear their worries and their concerns, and that's part of the reason we're doing a phased-in opening. So we'll open for 2 weeks in a remote mode, so all of our students beginning on September 16th through September 25th will be remote only. And that's really in response to our educators saying, it's Cape Cod. We don't know what's going to happen over Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, could we have some time to really see if there's any community spread as a result of tourism over Labor Day weekend? Absolutely. We hear them on that. So we're doing this phased-in approach of 2 weeks of remote learning, and then beginning on September 28th, we start our in-person and hybrid models, but at a reduced schedule for the day. So students will come for 4 hours for those 2 weeks. And again, our rationale behind that is we have so many protocols we've developed, and we've developed these protocols, from physical distancing to a lot of hand washing to what recess looks like, what lunch might look like, what happens if someone has symptoms while they're at school. So a number of protocols that we've developed when our students are not present in the building. So my rationale for saying, let's do a 4-hour day for a period of 2 weeks, is to when students leave after those 4 hours, we can gather as adults in the buildings and say, all right, which one of our protocols, are they working as we intended them to work? Do we need to tweak anything? We don't want to take any sort of longer period of time than the next day to readjust our protocols so that we are maintaining our commitment to health and safety for both our students and our staff.
Mm. I imagine that it must be a huge challenge, because you're not just thinking about in the classroom. You have to think about every single minute of that school day, from when the child gets on the bus all the way to when that child returns home. Kids are kids. They're social creatures, and maybe excited to see their friends and teachers again, and helping them to understand the need and the severity of this pandemic, I imagine, was a big deal for you, right? Transportation, I imagine, was a big thorn in figuring out the plan.
Absolutely. We've had to deconstruct every single minute of the day, from the time that a student may get on the bus if they're taking bus transportation to the time that they get off the bus at the end of the school day, and everything that happens in between. And you mentioned transportation. So normally our buses can transport, you picture a large yellow school bus, can transport about 77 students at full capacity, again, due to the physical distancing that's required, that really supports healthy transportation. That bus or that ridership capacity is now down to 24 students. So the buses we have are the buses we have. We can't buy anymore. There's no more to be had in the United States, right? So we're having to look at how we're transporting students. Again, in the hybrid model that we'll have from 4th through 12th grade, we think our transportation will be fine. It's more at that K through 3 level. But again, in our survey, the survey results from parents, many parents are indicating that they don't want to put their child on the bus, and they may have normally done that in previous years, that they want to do their own transportation. So we may be okay in terms of transportation, but I think, we'll certainly know as the date nears.
We just have a few seconds left, maybe 10 seconds, but for parents who are really wrestling with what to do in the fall, what's your advice? One sentence on that.
Watch the public health data for Barnstable County.
Thank you. And that is Dr. Meg Mayo Brown, superintendent of Barnstable Public Schools. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.